Welcome to the New Reality Show, where you can call in live for laser coaching and engage in Q&A with Drs. Art Emmerich and Christina Winzi. Discover how to master the power of your mind, body, and spiritual energies. Get empowered to create your new reality for more happiness, well-being, and success.
Well, good evening, Dr. Art.
Well, hello, Dr. Winzi, and everybody out there in radio and TV land.
It's another happy Friday night on the New Reality Show. So happy to be here with you. So,
I am too. You've had a little bit of a tough week with the cold, and so I'm glad you're really snapping back out of it now.
Thank you. I am indeed. I think maybe for new listeners, we might want to tell a little bit about what the show is about and why we're here. Just to let you guys know, Dr. Art is the resident comedian, and he may pop up from show to show with a funny hat. You never quite know what Dr. Art is going to be up to. This show is a labor of love for us. We've known each other for a number of years now, and between the two of us, it's a little frightening how many years of experience helping people we have. But we decided that the world was in such chaos and people were in so much anxiety and stress, and we couldn't get to everybody. And so that's when this show was born. We wanted to create a talk show that also was a way for people to call in and get some assistance. And actually, I see someone has called in already, so thank you. We will get to your calls in a little bit. The way that this actually works from the get-go is that we introduce our guest and we talk about the topic, and then we open the phone line. So thank you so much for calling in. I bet you're interested in this topic. That's excellent. Yay, we have people who are going to get help tonight. Wonderful. So, Dr. Art, we always start with a tip of the week from you, and yeah. I'm anxious to hear what you came up with this time.
Okay, here it is. None of us like to get bad news. If you shape that into nobody likes bad news, I modified that a little bit to separate the word nobody into two words. Nobody likes to be surprised. What that means is that, let's say, for example, you're getting ready to go into some sort of a medical procedure, a surgery. Imagine what it would be like if you didn't say anything to your body to tell what's getting ready to happen. So all it knows is it's being wheeled down the hall into an emergency room, and there's an anesthesiologist getting ready to put the conscious mind to sleep, leaving the unconscious mind, which never sleeps until the big one, to wonder what's going on. And then all of a sudden it realizes that skin is being cut and bones are being sawed, and it thinks it's under brutal attack when really that's not true. Well, you can imagine the shock, the pain, the suffering, and the anger that your unconscious might have. But why didn't anybody ever say anything to me? So the encouragement for the tip of the week is, anytime you're getting ready to do something that involves your body, please talk to your body and let it know ahead of time. It does not like to be surprised like that, especially when the surprise is not good. So,
well, I know you do hypnotherapy for people who are going to be having surgery.
And I do.
You help them to be prepared. So that's a very important tip. Wow. That's a serious one this week. Let's hope there aren't too many people about to go under the knife, though.
Well, I hope not, but it might not be quite that. Maybe you're just getting ready to go in for an interview or a big sales call, or something like that, tell your whole system what's getting ready to happen so that there aren't any surprises anywhere.
Yeah. Just wow.
Encourage you to do more body talk.
Yeah.
Establish a good rapport between your conscious mind, your unconscious mind, and your body. They all three need to work together to get what you want.
Awesome. Good advice. Well, you know, this is right in line with the wonderful guest that we have tonight, who is Sharon Abbott. And I'd like to introduce her. Very amazing woman on a mission. She's a successful entrepreneur for over 23 years. She had an 8-year career in sales in the Fortune 500 arena, and she is the author of 10 books. Sharon created the idea for the Ultimate Business University as a way to help kids. It was founded in honor of her adopted brother, Tony. He became terminally ill in 1998, and she became his private. For the 10 years of his care, Sharon became aware of the number of children living on the streets because of the stories he had told about being in foster care. Her ambitious plan to help thousands of children from around the world is in the process of becoming a reality, and you won't want to miss her story, her incredible plans, and the inspiration for saving our children that she so readily shares. Along with that, she's going to be sharing about her technique, neuro-emotional anti-sabotage technique. And I'm pretty excited about this twist. Like, we've talked about emotional freedom, et cetera, but I'm really excited to see, you know, what she's got going, and especially about how she's going to help children. So welcome, Sharon Abbott.
Thank you so much, Dr. Christina. It's nice to meet you, Dr. Art.
Glad to see you today.
Awesome to have you on. And we had a nice conversation about a week ago when you agreed to be on the show. And I was just so impressed with what you're doing. We know how many kids need help these days. And so I guess I'll start with the first question is, you know, why did you want to start a school for kids at risk, which is kind of a silly question, but at the same time, you know, it's a huge undertaking. And I know that Tony was your main reason, but maybe you can go into that.
Well, thank you for asking that, because it's something that's very near and dear to my heart. And a lot of times people will have a cause, they'll have something that happens to them. And I truly believe, because the theme of your show is people having questions and challenges and wanting to change things. And how this came about was realizing that when a challenge is put in front of you, if you do something about it, then the challenge has a purpose, right? So when you see it and then take action, it actually has more of a purpose. A lot of people have really good intentions, but in 2000, my brother and I were sitting there at Christmas dinner, and we started talking about all the kids. Now, there's 200,000 children just in the United States living on the streets without an adult to provide for them or protect them or make sure they have shelter. And they're under 18 years old. And so we started talking about what would have happened to him if I hadn't been there to, like, take him away from my parents and bring him in a couple of times, the last time when he had colon cancer. And so we developed this concept of being able to help some kids that really needed it, and to give them the kind of education that would give them not just the learned education, but the practical skills that would get them through life. So teaching them how to find a passion from their heart and do something with the rest of their life that would actually matter.
Powerful. And also, because you're an entrepreneur and a successful one, there's a lot you can teach them about how to engineer their lives.
Well, it's amazing that every one of our kids has to have their own business within the first 30 days of being on campus. So it's like we're really entrepreneur aware and enthusiast.
That is.
Could you say a little bit about why you picked Belize as a location for your school?
Well, I always like to answer this by saying I wanted Antigua, because I figured the kids wouldn't jump in the ocean and swim back to the States. But my brother believed that Belize is the last spiritual sanction on earth that isn't tainted by the ill will of people going through a lot of trauma. Like if you've heard of Sedona, Sedona has had so many people come and just dump their emotional problems, and it is no longer the spiritual land that it used to be. It needs to be cleansed, and I'm not sure that sage would do the trick, but somebody needs to go in there and clean that up. You know, there's a lot of places in India where people have gone to seek advice from the gurus, and they want to go in and have a clean slate when they walk out. But the problem is they don't realize they're leaving all of their bad energy where they are. And so Belize was his idea of being able to have a place that's pristine, it's clean. It's a little bit like Hawaii was 50 years ago, where it isn't tainted by, even though there's lots of tourists, they used to have 1.2 billion a year in tourism, but that's over in the island of Ambergris Cay, San Pedro. And the country itself is very simple and clean.
Wow.
I have a really good friend who's an energetic seer, and he spends half of the year in New Zealand because of that same reason. That's a land that's untainted by all this horrible human energy that just mostly sheep there. So they're pretty safe.
Especially for somebody who is sensitive energetically, if you can feel frequencies, then I get twitchy. And it sounds weird, but if I go out and I'm around a lot of concrete and I'm around people wearing masks in California and all these people are very angry, you know, there's been this division and I start getting kind of twitchy. Well, being in a country like Belize where the air is clean, the energy is clean, the food, no chemicals, no GMO. I mean, everything about it is just pristine. And so that's what I'm looking for. And it's right on the ocean. So you've got the positive ions that you can heal naturally too.
Yeah.
So I'd like to tie in your neuro-emotional anti-sabotage technique, because obviously a lot of these kids that you're bringing there are going to have issues. So I'm assuming, and maybe you can clarify, that the work that you do with them will clear their issues as well as the energy and keep Belize as pristine as you say it is.
Absolutely. That is a mandate that we leave Belize as clean as it is now. You know, it was really interesting that when I left home, now my home life was pretty drastic. You know, I had to take my brother away from my parents. I was only 24. He was 15. So you can imagine it was pretty difficult. I used to say that my parents, if there wasn't an abuse already invented, they created it. And it was a generational thing where, you know, their parents treated them that way. And so they passed it on and they passed it on. Well, I'm a very sensitive heart. You know, I love people. It hurts me to see people hurt. And the time that I turned 17, I went to one of my teachers and I said, my only goal in life is to actually learn how to accept the things in life that have been given to me, change the things that I can, and let go of everything else instead of having, you know, how it floats in your head and, you know, I could have said that, I should have done that, I shouldn't have gone there. Well, that's destructive. And at 17, I recognized that I needed to make these changes. So I spent the first 20 years of my adult life chasing classes, chasing courses, talking to people, you know, doing learning meditation, doing all these different things so that I could feel like I had left my childhood pain behind and feel empowered by being an adult. Because most people don't understand that most decisions that you make as an adult are based on the decisions that were already made when you were a child. Before you're seven, you have these influences from your parents that create a normal knee-jerk reaction to everything that you'll be facing the rest of your life. It's one of the reasons I truly believe that 50% of all marriages end up in divorce. So as a child, you cannot have the relationship with both your mother and father that you need. Not that they're always wrong. It's just that what you need isn't given to you. And so what happens is you pick an adult, you marry them, thinking that you're going to work out that one thing, and it never works because that's not who you're meant to be energetically. Mm-hmm. So I created this book because I realized that I wasn't the only one struggling. And that was a big realization for me. So I ended up working with people who had never been in a relationship longer than 6 months. And after I worked with them, they were able to actually go out and get married and have a wonderful family life where, you know, 3 years, 10 years later, they're still very happy. I worked with one man who he couldn't keep a job. And it came from a time when he was in the sixth grade. So every 6 years he lost his job. He purposely somehow created an environment where he lost his job. And it was devastating to him. So what we found out is that when he was in the sixth grade, his teacher asked him to stand up and read from a book, but he said he had to go to the bathroom and she wouldn't let him go to the bathroom. And the poor little boy wet his pants. And so that became a set trauma that repeated a pattern of trauma every 6 years the rest of his life. And wow. Some people, he said he didn't even remember that until we started delving into it. Wow. So the book was intended and has done an amazing thing to be able to have a clean slate. So, and I'm going to pick on you, Christina, because I know you can handle it. So the left side of your face is actually slightly larger than the right side of your face. Do you see that?
Let's see.
See, right in here, it's slightly larger.
Okay.
Right? That left side is controlled by the right brain.
Yes.
The right brain is maternal. So your relationship with your mother was not what you personally needed it to be.
Absolutely.
I've only had one person in 15 years ever tell me that it wasn't correct what I was saying. So in 1 hour, I could work with you and your face would be perfectly symmetrical. Mm. So you see how my face, even though it's perfectly normal and I had an awful childhood, my face is completely balanced. Mm-hmm. So everything on my face measures the same. And I've had people that their face will shift as much as an eighth of an inch after 1 hour of doing this work, because it's like a muscle that's being, you know, like you're overworking your muscle. So your face muscle related to your mother's relationship makes the left side of your face slightly larger and you're not even aware of it. But that also makes decisions that you make with other women influenced by what your mother did or did not do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. You know, I'll let you talk in a minute, Dr. Art. She was reminding me of a class I took with a practitioner who did inner work with us. And she showed pictures before and after of the toes. And people's toes literally changed at the end of the class because of things that they had let go of or shifts in their thinking. What were you going to say, Dr. Art?
Well, I can't resist saying I'm going to have all my clients take their shoes off from now on.
Well, maybe not.
Well, I just want to do a quick station break for anybody who just joined us. Just so you know, you're listening to the new reality show on BBS Radio, and we are talking to the wonderful Sharon Abbott about neuro-emotional anti-sabotage technique and her book, as well as her plans to help a lot of children, which we're very excited about. And we have so many people that have called in. I can't even give the phone number right now because we have to get through all the people who are waiting to speak to you. So I'm pretty excited about that. I just also want to thank our subscribers. And if you like the show and you'd like to subscribe and support our show, you can go to the show page and there are different options for you. And we're very, very grateful to those of you who are already subscribers. So, Dr. Art, I bet you have 1,000 questions for Sharon as well.
I'm really curious about how, the word, the title that you use for this, neuro emotional. And so I wonder if you could say a little bit about how you came up with that idea.
So you understand how neurologically we are controlled, right? So our emotional reactions, and they come from, so what is it that's driving you? Is it your conscious, your subconscious, or your higher conscious? So if you are able to figure out on a regular basis how you respond to things, then you could feel more comfortable. So one of the things that I really struggled with is I could not walk into a room if there were two people in the room already. So that was a trigger set up by me neuroemotionally, and we sabotage. So this is a way of anti-sabotage. So releasing the sabotage that we've already exposed ourselves to. So it's a lot more simple than it sounds, and I actually call it nesting for short.
Wow. Well, I was thinking, because we've got so many people waiting to talk, that we'd take a few calls, and then we can get into more about the school. And how does that sound to you, Sharon?
Well, I think most of the people are the people on my team for the school.
They've already had neuroemotional anti-sabotage technique.
They hear from me every single Sunday. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it.
I see. Well, I'm going to welcome Mark, who is the very first caller, and see if Mark has a question for you. Mark, are you still on the in the waiting room? Well, if not Mark, then there is Melanie and Mohammed.
Yeah, they're on the team, and so it's Hardeep and Kyra.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure why they can't be heard.
Maybe there's... Oh, they're unconnected. There's Melanie. She just texts, "Hi, everyone."
Hi, Melanie. Do you have a question for Sharon? I mean, obviously you're on the team, so.
Mic is not working, it says.
Mic is not working. Okay. There's also Erica and Wilbur are in the waiting room.
They're also on the team.
Okay. Well, folks, I don't know why the microphone isn't working. This is a little bit disappointing, but...
Hardeep's mic. I wonder if there's something that they're not able to connect through the link.
That's possible. If they didn't call in through the 323 number, there's an 888 toll-free 888-627-6008.
They're actually on the StreamYard link, because they're from India, from Belize, they're from all over the world.
Oh, well, the way that they would get to talk is a direct line, which is out for outside the U.S. So, folks, if you want to call in, it's 1-323, you can see it on the screen, 744-4831. So that's for anyone outside the U.S. dials direct on that number, 1-323-744-4831. And while we're waiting, so tell us, Dr. Art and I did a whole show on EFT, and we give away instructions, and we want to help as many people to learn EFT as possible. Can you tell us the difference? Like, how did this develop? Did you first learn EFT, or was this completely your brainchild?
This was actually something that I created. Now, I use emotional freedom technique in the very beginning, because if I can clear both the emotional and the logical side of the brain, the left and the right brain, then the rest of the body comes in line. So most people don't realize, and I discovered this by listening to Bernie Siegel, when people have throat cancer, 99% of the time, they never speak their truth. So they're always afraid to speak out, right? Mm-hmm. So every organ in the body has a response to being stifled. So if in your vertebrae, your nerves are pinched, impinged, then they don't get the proper circulation, which then hinders the health of that organ. So if we can make sure that there's plenty of free circulation in the vertebrae, then the organ can actually come back to life. And so if people have, let's say they have a lot of lung problems, they have colds and pneumonia, then that comes from having fear in their life. And so we can actually release that. So emotional freedom technique is perfect for helping me get rid of the logical reasons why they think they're going through this, but it also helps me get rid of the emotional side. When I was a child, I was terrified. A dog jumped off of this porch and bit me in the back of my neck. And from that point on, I had asthma. So anytime I got near a dog, I would start that really heavy, scary breathing thing. And this actually helped me clear it. But I had to use the neuroemotional anti-sabotage technique as well as emotional freedom technique, so combining them. So over a 20-year time period, I was exposed to probably 30 different modalities that were supposed to help me come to a point where I could let go. So that was my goal. I want to let go. And there's even a technique that is an American Indian shaman technique. If you think of something that really disturbs you and you pinch the web between your thumb and your index finger as hard as you can, and you hold it until you can't hold it anymore, and then you slowly release, and then you breathe out exactly what you're thinking of, you release the energy that you've been holding, whatever that is that has been holding you back. So I took all of these concepts and I would try this and try that. And it wasn't until about 15 years ago that the process of using the left brain, the right brain, actually being able to take your right hand, which is controlled by your left brain when you're thinking of logic, and you put it on your forehead, and then which hand is this?
Left hand.
And then put it on the back of your neck, which then releases the energy. And until I did that one change, I would sometimes have to go through and work on people two or three times before they had a zero reaction. So let's say the first thing would be your brain. How do you release your brain to not have that nervous, chatty nonsense going on all day? You know, like you anticipate something that's going to happen. You have a tendency to overthink something that somebody said. You think back and say, you know, I wish I had thought about saying this. It's, you know, that afterthought that people always come up with. So when I came up with the idea that you could actually take the right hand on your forehead and your left hand on the back of your neck when you're actually working on emotional, and then you flip it, so the left hand and the right hand when it's logical, then all of a sudden, one time, and I go through, this is a Korean technique called sujuk. So this is basically your vertebrae. So this would be right at the base of your neck. And you can come up from the base of your spine and you can tap to where you're releasing the energy while you're thinking and saying what it is that is on your mind. So every time I think about what I had to go through emotionally, I immediately can release it and blow it out. And I do that three times with people so I can do distance, right? So I don't have to be with them. It's fun to do it in person. And then I would just tap up their spine, actually physically tap up their spine. And then in 1 hour, I can have people where they're neutral emotionally about their entire upbringing, about things that have happened. And you probably have known people, usually people think of men more than women, that have gone through 3, 4, 5 marriages and they still don't get it right, right? It's because emotionally, most men are taught as children that they don't need to be emotional. You know, buck it up, boys don't cry. You know, you have all this nonsense thrown at you. Instead of parents realizing what they're doing is they're actually depleting the ability for that child to grow into who they're meant to be. And so the children will have this technique. But the interesting thing is every one of our employees will go through the technique as well, because I don't want somebody's past to come up and influence the children. So by having everybody that comes anywhere near the kids completely clean, then I don't have to be concerned about somebody who's trigger. Like I was on Oprah way back 15 years ago. And one of the men on the show said, he was one of the people in the audience, he said that he went to the hospital and he completely lost it, yelling and screaming at the billing department because they billed him like $1,200 for a bedpan for his wife. And he said he knew while he was going through this yelling and screaming that it was wrong, but he couldn't help it. And his wife was standing next to him and she said, he yells and screams about everything. You know, if it's the weather's not right, if, you know, if it got up late, if he got up too early, she says he's yelling all the time and it was driving them both crazy. So it took 1 hour to actually go back to the event that caused that and then completely remove it. And a year later, she sent me an email and she said, he hasn't lost his temper the entire time. That whole year, he had not lost his temper. Imagine having your whole life, being 50 years old and going through that much anxiety on a regular basis, people with road rage, right? And then all of a sudden you realize how disempowering that is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then
that's powerful. And you're going to get an army to work with the staff. I'm sorry, Dr. Art, I interrupted you.
Yeah, I was wondering, you know, EFT is something you can teach somebody and they can do it themselves. Is your technique one that after you work with them and they learn it, then they can treat themselves as they go on through life, or even teach someone else how to do it? Or do you need to be certified, or how does that work?
What I do is I set up three Zoom calls where, let's say, you pick three friends of yours and we would work with you. I would show you how. The third one, you would actually do the practice so you would know. And then I set you off so that within a week you do three more people, and then we come back on Zoom and talk about what worked, what didn't, what could have been different. And all of the sessions are video on Zoom. So you have a reference point to go back. So I can look at that Zoom call and say, when you were doing this, if you had done that, right? Or you could have said this. Because a lot of times people get in their head and they get lost and they kind of forget where they're going. So it's a great practice. I had a psychotherapist in New York that I taught in 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Her husband was bipolar. And it took her about 2 months. And he was able to control most of the bipolar without medication after using nesting. Now, that's very unusual. I mean, extremely unusual. But she's also a psychotherapist, so she had a whole different skill set than I have.
Sure. But
she said she had been working on him for over 20 years, their entire marriage, and nothing had impacted him as rapidly as the nesting process.
Perfect.
That's powerful. And I just want to take a quick break for anybody who has joined us late. You are listening to the New Reality Show on BBS Radio, and we are talking to the wonderful Sharon Abbott. And if you'd like to call in and talk to Sharon or one of us for laser coaching, the numbers are toll-free in the U.S., 1-888-627-6008. And if you're outside the U.S., you would call direct 1-323-744-4831. And Sharon, I just, you know, I've got to learn this technique.
Me too. I got to add this to my toolkit here.
Yeah.
Now, imagine, I was in Aurora, Colorado. And I had never done this before, but I worked on an entire family. So there's five brothers and sisters and their spouses and two children. 12 people in the family. When I first met them, an amazing, delightful family from Mexico. When I first met them, one boy, the oldest one, who is 45, he's not a boy, but he was the one who dominated all the conversations around the dinner table. And they all had dinner nearly every night together. So everybody else was just observing. By the time I was done, the one who was the most shy was telling jokes at the dinner table. And people would just look back and go, oh, my God, where did that come from? So he had this intelligence going on the whole time, and no one ever knew it.
Wow. That's amazing. That's truly, truly amazing. I can't wait to learn this because Dr. Art and I are, we just keep adding and adding to our toolkit, you know, because what works for some people doesn't always work for others. And you need to be flexible as a practitioner. So
exactly,
we'll be hitting you up, but I do want to get to your plans for helping the children, because that's part of this, a big part of this show. And so since we don't have anybody calling directly on the line where they can speak, and hopefully they will, but maybe we can talk about, you know, what are you seeing as the launch date for this? You had spoken when we talked that there was going to, no, on your website, it says there's going to need to be a whole town just for the service providers that are taking care of the kids. So you're talking thousands of kids from all over the world. So maybe...
Yeah, let me clarify. It's 6,000 children from the United States. It's the only school where we will relocate children from their own country. And that school in Belize will have 25,000 children, or sorry, 25,000 employees, but a lot of them will be working with the livestock, the agriculture, the entertainment village. The entertainment village, we're going to have 2 Caribbean music festivals. We'll have 2 dive trips. I just thought yesterday we should have a rodeo. So we can create all kinds of fun, and it's not like we need these events for fundraisers, but what I want to do is to create a completely self-sustaining financially school system, because I know it can be done. So our 2 dive trips cover all of our teacher salaries, and for the 6,000 children, there are only 20 students per class, and there is a TA with a teacher. So it's a very intense concentration so that the kids do get a lot of attention. Their education will be like the Khan Academy. We'll develop our own, but we'll base it off the Khan Academy, where it's as the kids learn, they can move forward. If they're not learning it, they can't move forward. So it's not memorizing, regurgitate, forget. It's actually learning how to learn in a way that it stays with them. Mm-hmm. And actually learning by whether they're audio, visual, or kinetic. So a lot of times what happens in our schools is that everyone's taught the same way and it doesn't appeal, right? So I watch my nephew who was ADD, and they put him on Ritalin because they thought he was like, you know, too much energy. And I was furious with my sister that she actually went along with that. So then he became very apathetic. And he had been writing music from the time he was 6 years old. And of course, the rest of the time, from the time he took Ritalin, he didn't write any music. Fortunately, he's back into music. But, you know, that's the kind of things people don't realize, that those drugs inhibit. Like a lot of times when people have nervous disorders and they're put on Ritalin to keep them calm, what they don't realize is that every organ in their body is also calmed down. So then if there's an emergency, their body can't respond because it's too quiet.
Right.
Right. So the kids in the school will be exposed to all the agriculture. We're going to have a program where we're taking old 50s cars and restoring them. And we'll have 10 kids working in a bay on that one car. So every day, part of their class is that they learn how to do the engines, the body work, and everything. And then when we sell that car, we split it in half, and those 10 kids split the 50%. So they actually will earn money, but they'll earn it in a way that they learn how to do things with their hands, because I think a lot of kids have lost that. We'll have electrical engineering projects that they're going to work on. We're going to build ships. We're going to build all kinds of things that the kids will actually work on. and the agriculture. You know, I still to this day, I'm 70 years old, and I grew up in a tiny little town, Mendocino, and Northern California, and we grew everything that we ate or traded the neighbor for what they had that we didn't, right? Mm. So I had to go walk 2 miles down the road from the time I was six to go polish chicken eggs and then come home with the chicken for our Sunday dinner every single week. So the lessons in that, you know, the value, the appreciation of the food, it isn't like you stand over the sink and you just wolf your dinner down. You know, it's the appreciation of the food and what it's doing for your body and understanding the food. So you probably know people who get really tired in the afternoon and they don't understand. They just feel like they're so groggy. They don't know what to do. And it's because they have carbs for lunch. Mm-hmm. So the carbs make their pancreas overwork, which makes their body go into kind of an insulin shock. They're probably not diabetic yet, but it's one of the things that will cause diabetes over years and years of abuse of the food that they eat. So people will eat protein and carbs together, potatoes and meat, right? Well, they're not getting the nutritional value from either thing because they cancel each other out. So learning how to use food for the body is so important. So the education is going to be phenomenal.
Sharon, all this stuff that you have done so far, and you seem to be filled with energy still, where's your inspiration come from? Where's that energy source?
I have this picture of my brother, and I say good morning to him every morning. He passed away in 2008. Just before he passed away, I promised him that I would do this school, and it has been the driving force since 2012. I went all in. I had 8 different times funding was promised to me because the school is obviously an amazing idea. And even the company that built the Beijing Olympic Village wanted to give me the funding. But in order to take their funding, I would have had to hire all Chinese people and I would have had to use all Chinese products. And one of the things that has always bothered me is like when the U.S. goes into a country and they bring all U.S. people and the money doesn't stay in that country. So it's wrong, you know, using the resources of a country and not giving back. So I'm very conscious about having 90% of all of our employees will be Belizeans. It is so important to me to be able to help a country because they're considered third world. But they actually have everything to be like a top international country. It's just nobody's ever gotten in there and said, let's clean this up and organize it. And, you know, our team's coming in with the broom. We're going to make sure that we do things to help the country get on their feet and stay there.
So how close are you to launching? What is needed now? How can people contribute to this? How can we get your word out?
Well, it sounds daunting, but in 2012, when the last funding, I was promised I would go to Zurich, sign on the bank account, and go to Belize and get started. And that's when the IMF froze all fundings. And so I've been waiting. They said a month. Well, here we are 9 years later. So I was introduced to an investment in 2012. And because they had told me, sell your house, shut down your business, get rid of your car, you're going, I had this money in the bank, and I went all in on this investment, which should have only taken about 4 years. But here we are 9 years later, and I already know personally 2 people who have had the fund released, and they've already started their project. On Monday, one of the ladies bought a hospital in Los Angeles, about an hour from me, and she's converting it to an alternative health facility. So she's getting rid of all the Western medicine. There will be no Western medicine left in that hospital, but the facility, it's a 500-bed hospital. So huge. we're that close. You know, I keep being told it's this week, and then every week goes by, and it's like, you know, some people say, well, how do you keep that enthusiasm like Dr. Art? And, you know, I look at this like, this is a gift that I've been given. I've been made aware, and I have the wherewithal to be able to pull people together. We have 240 people on the team from 48 countries relocating to Belize just to make this happen. And there is invested emotionally in it as I am. You know, that it's just a lifeline for all of us, thinking we can actually do something to make this world a better place. So, yeah. You know, people think about, you know, their life is this or their life is that, and it's not what they want. What are they doing to make the change? And that's what this is. And that's where I get my enthusiasm. So when I was teaching entrepreneur skills, I had this habit of going out and speaking to groups that were unemployed. So people who made $50,000 lost their jobs, usually a lot of AT&T and a lot of tech, Hewlett Packard, when they laid off. And I would ask people if they could spend a half an hour a day thinking about what their life would be a year from that day. What would it end up being in 1 year? And I was shocked and amazed and impressed at how many people got back to me a year later, got rid of the job that was just an income, started doing something they were passionate about, most often made more money than they did at the corporate job, but then had the freedom and flexibility to spend time with their families. And that was the part that in this country, and this shocked me, 65% of all children under 12 years old do not see their parents until the weekend. Children are being raised by, by the television and by strangers. That's where that emotional disconnect is building. You know, there's no attachment to your family if you never see them. And then the kids are feeling like, in Northern California, there's this community called Danville. It's one of the wealthiest communities there is in California. Highest suicide rate of teenagers in the country.
Wow.
The parents both working, making $200,000 each, give the kids credit cards, Corvettes, Jaguars, stupid cars for kids, as far as I'm concerned. The kids have no connection to anything. Everything comes too easy. They don't have to work for anything. And what I don't understand is how a parent could not recognize that in their own children. A lot of the kids then go into drugs. You know, when I look at the kids that we're going to be taking to Belize, these kids have broken into buildings because they want to get out of the cold weather. They're stealing groceries out of a grocery store because they're starving and they don't know how to come up with their own food. I can't imagine a child living on the street, let alone two of the boys that I met and talked with, 12 years old, ran away from home because their home life was so terrible. Now, I personally can relate to that. But most people would look at a child that's 18, that's walking around town in their pajamas and flip-flops and judge them because they don't fit in.
Yeah.
They don't know the whole story.
Yeah.
So this is something that we can do something about. And it takes one person. Like, I've always loved asking people, do you know how many people it took to recede from England in 1776? It started with 12 people getting together and having dinner.
So how will you find all the kids that need the help? Are we going to the foster system? What is the way that you're going to gather these children?
Well, ideally, they would be referred by a teacher, a church, but we have five judges around the country. So we have San Francisco, Houston, Seattle, Detroit. I think we have a second one now in San Francisco. And what they're going to do, these kids are picked up because they've shoplifted for food or they get caught going into a building. And the judge will say, you have a choice. You can go to juvenile hall with all the other juvenile delinquents, or you can go to Belize and finish your high school. Because at 15, these kids can be emancipated. So without an adult permission, they can declare themselves independent and go to Belize. And the judge,
age 15 in the U.S., they can do that?
Yes.
Wonderful. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they can become completely independent. And we can actually do a screening. So there's a lot of kids that even at 15, they have drug problems. We are not taking kids that have drug problems. We're not taking kids that are very dysfunctional. But we have already made alliances with programs who have that facility to be able to help them. And if they don't, we will be able to fund them to develop the facilities to help them. So that's, you know, with the neuroemotional anti-sabotage technique, a lot of people who are dependent on drugs and alcohol can immediately let go of those dependencies. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things that I want to make sure that no child is ever left on the street. So one thing that we're going to do is come back and buy hotels and convert them to live workspaces for any child under 18. So I don't care what their situation is. If they're under 18 and they don't have a place to be, they can come in and have a clean bed, education, food, and nurturing. By the time we get through, no child will be living on the street unless they choose to.
This reminds me of a story that was told about Mother Teresa. There was a reporter that followed her around for 2-3 days. And at the end of the time, he looked at her and he said, "Mother Teresa, I wouldn't do what you do for $1 million." And she looked at him and smiled and she said, "I wouldn't either." I think you're just coming from abundance and we can do it. And it just takes us to realize that this is our problem. We need to solve it. And
Right. Somebody has to step up. And, you know, here we are, 2021, and no one's done it yet. That's the real question. Why hasn't it been done?
You're the shining light. You're showing us how to do it. I think that's just fabulous. That's really, really nice.
So we have 28 divisions. So Ultimate Business International is the parent corporation, and the school is just one of the divisions. Okay. And I got inspired by Foster Gamble, who's from the Procter Gamble family.
Yes.
And he has, you know, Thrive, the movie. And in the movie, he said, 100 million a year would completely eradicate hunger in the world. Yeah. How many people would it take to have 100 million? There are investments out there in the world that can actually do that repetitively 12 times over every single year with a one-time $100 million investment. So why hasn't it been done? I think the people he went to school with, the best collegiate schools there are, have 10 million each. 10 people could put up that 100 million, but it hasn't been done. And that Thrive the movie was done, I'm going to say 6 years ago.
At least.
And it still hasn't been addressed. So we have a whole division called Feed the World. And one of the first projects we're going to do is we're going to relocate 1 million Syrians out of the refugee camps and put them into their very own town, which will be Little Syria. And we're going to print all of their homes. Like, I don't know if you know, you can do 3D printing.
Yes. Yes.
You can also build hemp homes, which I just found out 3 months ago that when we have paint in the house, like I keep having the scratchy throat and it's from the paint. I'm allergic to the chemicals in the paint. If I go into a hotel and I walk across the carpet makes my throat itch because of the chemicals they use to clean the carpet. So hemp paint, hemp homes, and you can build like the drywall. They make drywall out of hemp. They can build 1,000 homes a day, 1,500 square feet, for the cost of $10,000 per home.
Wow, that's incredible. And we could talk to you forever. We're running out of time.
Oh my gosh.
We have 3 minutes left. And what I'd like is for people to know how to get your book, first of all. So it's Neuroemotional Anti-Sabotage Technique. And if you're not viewing and you're just listening, you can get that at https://neuroemotional.com/book. And if that's too long and too difficult, email contactnrshow@gmail.com and we'll send you that link. We also want to know, how can people help with your project, Cheryl?
Well, I am building a city. You know, 26,000 people will be part of the campus. And so if people have an expertise, we have a visiting instructors program. Well, I will bring people down for a week and let them teach some classes, get engaged with the kids and the teachers and the rest of the staff. We have just amazing things that I'm looking for. Just about yesterday, I talked with a man who worked with UNICEF for 32 years. And he's going to come down and work with our Feed the World program. I mean, his contacts at the UN are perfect for that. So I've always felt like the right person will show up. So if you're hearing this and you've always wanted to know what you can do to make a difference in the world, this is a great place to start.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that is ultimatebusinessuniv.com.
Perfect.
So you can contact Sharon there. And gee, I don't even know what to say. This has just been incredible. And thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much. This has
You're
been
welcome.
So wonderful. Exactly what our show is about. And we're glad that you were on there to show us the way.
Thank you Absolutely. So much. I really appreciate it. What a fast hour.
Yeah. Well, we'll be back next week with another show. And thank you so much for joining us, everybody.
Thank you both. I enjoyed it. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed this show, please consider being a supporter. You can find that on our show page. Tune in every Friday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/New Reality Show for announcements of upcoming topics and exciting guest interviews. Bye for now.